Good afternoon. This is Nina, and here we are for the 31st episode of the Audible Weed Walk. In the light of our difference, how diversity in nature and culture makes us human. It is a book, and I have mentioned about this book here in one of my previous podcasts. It is an awesome book by David Harman. It asks an essential question: how do biodiversity and culture intersect? If I remember correctly, David Harman, the author, had argued that if all dialects and languages be considered a language for a change, and apparently there is a great debate amongst the linguists about it, then we will find that more than 90% of languages that have evolved around a particular habitat that covers only 10 to 12% of the Earth's land surface. Guess which habitat? Yes, it is the tropical rainforest, also known as the humid tropical forest. The diversity is high in them, as much as it is high in the diverse plants and animals that it hosts. And according to the author, the language defined by the culture for people who evolve in the area. This is easily noticeable if one spends time in the tribal communities and remain an observer while being there. Let me give you an example. What he says about the relation between the language and the cultural aspects of the biodiversity and biodiversity. Take Mahua, or Madhuka longifolia tree. It has huge cultural significance with the tribal community. While working in an area inhabited by Saura, or as they call themselves, Sora tribal group, I had found that while we call a tree as, for example, Mahua tree, the flower, Mahua flower, and the seeds, Mahua seeds, they call Mahua flowers Mahuli. At least that name connects somehow to the name of the tree, which is Mahua. The seeds, however, are called Tulo. There is no connection. Each part of the tree itself has a cultural livelihood and lifestyle significance, as fresh and dried flowers provide the source of sweet taste, an iconic alcoholic beverage, and seeds produces a healthy, nutritious oil. According to the author, when biodiversity depletes, people, especially tribal people, who are linked to the habitat are forced to move away or are weaned away with a different vocation when people stop using those languages. There will be no need to use the term Tulo if one is not collecting and using Mahua seed oil, for example. First, the language will be lost, then the memory, perhaps, of using it, and with that, we will lose an important and significant knowledge about nature. Now, last week, a journalist had come for my weed walk. Her interest was in cultural links to food match my interest. Taking the opportunity, I could catch up with my friends in Pondicherry. One of them, M. Kannan, is a lead researcher at the French Institute. Among other areas, his expertise include contemporary Tamil culture and cultural studies. I remembered David Harman's argument because he too mentioned something very similar. We were talking about food for the Dalit people. If you are unfamiliar with the term, Indian society is divided into castes that transcends in reality different faiths. Dalits, that literally means oppressed, is the lowest in the caste ladder and officially refers to as scheduled caste. I have been interested in the food that was possible for traditionally Dalits to eat in different regions since they had no rights to own land. They often were farm workers and received their payments in share of grains they ate. The rest they had to collect, grow around the house, I guess, and gather. So their food and flavors were defined not by what was needed or desirable, but what is available and what they could access. During discussion, Kannan had mentioned that Tamil word for weed is kalai. When I said edible weeds, well, he said it can be literally translated to something like a sapadike kalai, or which literally means edible weeds. And I used the Google translator and it gave me the term called unnakutiya kalai. But Kannan pointed out that that is when I remember David Harmon also, that even when we can make a literal translation like that, it is an artificial one. It has no meaning or significance in that culture. The people who recognized which kalai to eat will refer to the plant as kalai, but as soon as they sort or pick them up for eating, they will become kirei, or edible greens. So, many of the weedy plants in nature and those mentioned in my books has the word kirei following their name. And none has kalai, the term that is new to me. The knowledge and usage of kalai or weed makes it kirei. So, when something refers to as kirei, it is loaded with information. Maybe something traditional, maybe new, about the nutrition, about its medicinal or cultural significance. Such tiny shift in terms makes such a huge difference and conveys so much. I am amazed. As a reader, the knowledge the Dalit community or anyone who holds the wild cultivated greens, holds about the wild cultivated greens, fruits, seeds, and various parts, make them the guru in the repository of knowledge that we need to cope today with climate change, with uncertainties. Now, as part of my edible weed project, as some of you may already know, I am planning not only to reprint the Edible Weeds coloring book and publish two more books in the series, but also plan to include an integrated program involving training of educators to reach out to the knowledge, to take this knowledge to our children. I call them the change makers of the future. To the women who are the health ministers of their family and often end up neglecting their own health. To the conscious eater who is seeking to reduce the farm-to-mouth distance and eat healthy, nutritious local food and take care of the healthy health problem, and all these in a joyful engagement, while de-stressing, while honoring and the amazing knowledge, wonderful nature, and growing our own roots deep into nature, no matter where we live, urban, metro, semi-urban, rural, wherever. At its core, the project has many layers. The underlying issue it addresses, as you have already figured, is our disconnect with nature. Not the loss of knowledge only, but the loss of our habit of inquiry that leads us to finding and updating what is edible, for example. The immediate expression of this loss is imbalance, malnutrition, micronutrient deficiency, etc. By the way, while malnutrition more often than not affect the poor, apparently nearly one-third of the world population is micronutrient deficient. A wonderful, accessible, natural source of such micronutrient is uncultivated wild greens. I talked about the underlying and immediate issues, but what about what could be the intermediate issues? Issues that are more subtle, more dictated by social and cultural norms. Well, for the wild greens, one has to address the stigma of it being a poor man's food, a poor person's food, to be politically correct. But more I think about it, I think I have to delve deeper. While medicinal and occasional usage of some of the greens as food was part of the traditional culture, the range of usage and knowledge lies perhaps with the Dalits. If we all start honoring the wild weedy greens around us, recognizing them, appreciating them, connecting with them, and also eating them, we will, in our own small way, unshackle them. Take a pause, think about it. Another world a natural world waiting for us just in our backyard, and sometimes even sneaking in our flower pots. When you find something as awesome as this, you must share. Share far and wide, exchange notes, stories and recipes, and all that. I found that coloring book for adults, a concept unheard of in India then, as my approach to begin with. Nothing can go wrong with an experimental book one would love to hold, to turn the pages, to color and relax. And like magic, the essential information infuses you. For those who wanted to take it further, there is a colored insert in the book to take along for your walk, identify, know, and revel. But of course, the learning becomes easier and faster when it is shared among the kindred spirits. So along came our weed walks. What a journey it has been to share with people, to exchange notes, to stand corrected, to learn, to experiment, and to eat. I will continue to bring you some stories about this journey and where it is taking us next. So I'll see you next time. Stay well and stay safe.
This is Orville Radio.